Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, titled, Be Strong in the Lord. This is part 2 of 2.
For your home, for your marriages, for your children, for your workplace, you should pray. I pray before I go to work, before I go in the building, I pray and ask the Lord to hinder the devils at work. Go to church. You say, you pray that before you go in the church building? Amen. Lord, hinder the work of the devils. Amen. You don't have to take that seriously. I mean, a lot of people these days don't take the devils or the devil seriously. And, you know, that's up to you, but you're gonna regret it if you don't take them seriously. The Bible says he's seeking whom he may devour. And I think it's anybody who doesn't take him seriously be the one he goes after first. And believers in response must be resistant. We must resist. Read verse 9 with me. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What's that saying? That's saying that the devil and his devils are at work and attacking you and all the brethren around the world. Now, you may say I'm being over literal, but I believe it. I believe there's a devil for every one of us, and maybe several. And we are to what?
Resist.
What do we do?
Stand.
You resist by standing. Taking a stand. That doesn't mean literally on your feet, because a lot of times your stand will be on your knees.
Amen.
Your stand will be praying. Your stand is sitting right now. You realize you're taking a stand by sitting here right now and being in a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
Anybody anywhere in a Bible-believing church is taking a stand by sitting in that church and supporting that work.
Amen.
You take a stand by simply caring about the music and entertainment that's in your home.
Amen.
You're taking a stand right there. You're taking a stand by caring about what kind of a witness you are to those around you.
Amen.
You're taking a stand by giving that gospel tract out, preaching the gospel to the lost. You're taking a stand there. That's how you take a stand. That ye may be able to stand. We must stand on the solid ground of gospel truth. This isn't about, oh, I'm a church member, and I was baptized, and I give money to the church, and I pray. And you know, those works mean nothing if they're not based upon a grounded upon the gospel itself.
Amen.
Those are just religious works, and Satan doesn't mind religion. Did you know that?
Yes, sir, that's right.
He's behind most of it.
Yeah. Amen.
Stand upon the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 is where the gospel is laid out, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That's the gospel truth. Amen?
Amen.
Look what he said before that in the first couple of verses. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what?
Gospel.
Which I preached unto you. That's where it all begins. Which also ye have received, and wherein ye what?
Stand.
See, right there it is. You choose whether you're going to stand on the solid rock of the gospel or going to stand on sand. Sand and oil. Amen, Thomas.
Amen, that's right.
And you stand on the gospel, that means it's not about you. It's not about how strong you are, how talented you are. It's all about Jesus. The gospel is about Jesus, not about us, not about you, not about denominations, not about churches, not about movements. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
He says, by which also ye are what?
Saved.
If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. What I mean is, I believe this is teaches, there are people who make a verbal confession of the gospel, but yet it's not really something that they believe in their heart and their mind, and so they do what they need to do, and then they go on, and there's no evidence they actually believe anything. But a lot of them remain religious.
Yeah.
A lot of them go on to seminary and become pastors of churches, and yet they've left the gospel. And then they teach and teach and teach, and all the people they're teaching slide off the gospel ground into sand. And it becomes quicksand. We will be told to stand three times in this chapter. We're going to see that three times in one chapter. And we must stand against Satan's what?
Wiles.
Please start using that word. I love that word, but no one ever uses it anymore. Wily Coyote. Yeah. There you go. She got that. You learned that in college, didn't you?
No. Like
Wiley, college. Well, Mariah's tending to business out there, but I remember the girls watching one of the cartoons, and one of the characters said to me, you know, beware the wicked wiles of women. Remember that? The wicked wiles of women. So, some of you, just if you watch cartoons, you know what this word means. Amen?
Amen.
That ye may be able to stand against the wiles. Say that with me. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you may say, well, that's a case where the King James Bible needs to be updated. No, I don't think so. And really, it's sad that people think that there needs to be an update of something that right there you can tell in the text itself what it means. But if you want to, look it up in an Oxford dictionary. It says, devious or cunning stratagems. Mm-hmm. Well, that Oxford dictionary needs to be updated, that word stratagems. Who uses that anyway? Employed or manipulating in persuading someone to do what one wants. So understanding what a wile is, W-I-L-E, for those listening by radio, and understanding whose wiles we're talking about, then you understand that Satan, when it talks about Satan's wiles, he has devious or cunning stratagems employed in manipulating or persuading, fill in the blank with your name, to do what Satan wants.
Yeah.
What's he want from you? Oh, there's a few things I think you can make him happy with. Number one is be a hypocrite. Don't really live it. Don't try to live the Christian life. Don't love the Lord really in your heart. Don't really try to learn the Word. Don't really pray the way you know you ought to. Don't do those things. Just kind of put yourself on the shelf. Be a Christian in name only. Satan's stratagems to sink the saved. This is just a very general list that I think applies to everybody. Is number one, false gospels.
Yep.
If he can get you to believe that you can do something to produce salvation, he's won. You're going to hell.
Amen.
If you think that you're saved by works of righteousness which you have done, you're going to hell.
Amen.
It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. The gospel cannot include your own works.
Amen.
But then you go to the other side and it says, oh, okay, well, since there's no works involved, then that means you don't even go to the Lord and acknowledge your sin and acknowledge that you're a sinner and be sorry for those sins and repent in your heart and your mind of being a sinner who sins. And so that's the other side of the coin, antinomianism, this hyper-dispensational false gospel with no repentance. What does the Bible say on that banner right there in Acts 20:21? That's the Pauline ministry. If you call yourself a dispensational, and this is more for some folks that are out there online that may be watching or on the internet or radio, but if you call yourself a dispensationalist and you do not preach repentance, you're a fake and a fraud.
Amen.
That is the Pauline ministry right here. Acts 20:21, Paul said he was testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No disclaimers. You don't see a little asterisk or a star and a footnote at the bottom that means, well, you only repent of your unbelief. Or you only repent of being a sinner, not actually your sins. It doesn't say that. You're subtracting from the Word of God when you falsely define the word repentance to mean anything other than repent. Of what? Everything.
Amen.
When you repent of only something, you've not repented.
That's right.
It is a heart attitude. You know what I find? These guys who preach that nonsense, all of them, when they got saved, they did repent. But then they were talked out of believing that it was necessary. They read a lexicon and started reading these hyper-dispensational teachers, and then they started preaching a false gospel. And it's very rare that they'll actually preach what they believe when they talk to somebody out on the street. They don't go out on the street and say, hey, just continue in your sins. Just believe that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. You can be saved, but remain what you are. That's never preached in the Bible. That message was never preached by Jesus or Paul.
Amen.
And that's not a biblical gospel.
Amen.
The false gospels have led us to the false Bibles. Why do I say that? Well, the people who produced the first false Bible versions believed a false gospel of baptismal regeneration.
Amen.
The Anglicans. And they filled up the Anglican church in England with a bunch of unsaved people, and that included the people in the pulpits.
Amen.
They believed they were saved by their works. And what did that produce? That produced false scholarship. It produced the false scholarship that adopted the Vatican Codex Bible, rejected the Bible that Christians had always used through the centuries, rejected the King James Bible version in English, and adopted the Vatican corrupt Bible.
Yeah.
Started with the false gospels. Yeah. And once you get the unsaved filling in, and actually before it happened in England, it happened in Germany. Germany and their state church, Lutheranism, with its false gospel of baptismal regeneration, filled their churches with a bunch of unsaved people who then took control of the colleges, which then trained all the seminary professors and pastors of their churches, which then produced this false textual criticism, which robbed people of their Bible, the Luther Bible in German, and replaced it with Codex Vaticanus translations.
Wow.
All of it started false gospel, produced false Bibles, which then leads to false doctrine. And one of the main things that's going on with that false doctrine is the rejection of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. They now are teaching, and people are openly saying, well, I believe Christ died for our sins and that He was buried and rose again, but I don't believe it was a substitution. I don't believe that He actually paid for our sins. I believe He was a good example. And He's showing us what we should do. We should lay down our lives. That's the message preached in churches all over Franklin County. Rejecting the substitutionary atonement. Why? Because they're not saved. They don't believe the biblical gospel in the first place. They adopt the Vaticanus false Bibles. And now it's destroying their doctrine. Whole denominations are gone, folks. Because of that. And that leads to number four, why you have sodomites in the pulpits and they're performing so-called gay marriages in these churches. Because it leads to sinful behavior of the lowest forms.
Amen.
These are professing Christians and churches who promote killing unborn children.
Yeah.
They promote sodomite marriage.
Yeah.
And it's going to get worse, folks. They're moving for the children next.
Amen, that's right.
Yeah.
Perverts.
Yeah. My generation, when I was in high school, that was, oh, there'll never be gay marriage. That, and a lot of the people that said that was, I'd never support such a thing, and now they do.
Sure they do, they'll lose your job.
And now you got some of the same people saying, oh, I would never support child sex with adults. I would never. No, what they're going to do is redefine what it means to be a child and say you're an adult when you turn 10.
Amen.
Lower the ages of consent. That's what they'll do. And if it happens as fast as the gay marriage thing did, it's going to happen probably in about 3 years. Bad stuff, folks. One usually leads to the other. You just look at any one of these, and if they start here, start there, wherever, it leads to the other. It's like the big whirlpool effect in the water. Here's an example. Man, we could be here a long time and I can show you all kinds of examples. But I promise I'm just going to show you one. Because this was on all of our television screens. If you have a television, you get PBS. Amen?
Amen.
That's true, right?
Yep.
This is a story about Japan. But you'll see why I mentioned PBS in just a second. A spokesman for the Inner World Retreat Center. Inner. Self-help. Positive thinking. The Inner... INNER, World Retreat Center, says Joseph Campbell, that's a fellow you need to know about, tells of a visit to Japan to a conference on religion, where one Western scholar, having visited a few temples and shrines, was confused, and he asked a Shinto priest, "You know," he said, "I've been now to a good many ceremonies and have seen quite a number of shrines, but I don't get your ideology. I don't get your theology." The Japanese paused as though in deep thought, and then, biting his lips, shook his head. "I think we don't have ideology," he said. "We don't have theology. We dance." Turn on Christian TV. Mm-hmm. They're either dancing, running around, flailing about, you know. Or if there is teaching, in quotes, teaching going on, you'll constantly hear this: "We don't need more doctrine. What we need is revival. And revival, according to us, is dance." It's happening right before our eyes, folks, on our TV screens, the death of biblical Christianity.
Amen. That's correct.
People wonder why in Japan, the missionaries that go there tell you it is seldom that they even will listen to the gospel. Why? Because they've had this Shintoistic dance theology pounded in their heads, and they don't think that truth matters. And that's what's happening in America, folks. People in the churches are being told it's not a matter of truth, it's not a matter of doctrine, it's experience. Yeah. And then some people say, "Oh, I had a visitation from an angel." The Bible says, though an angel preach any other gospel, let him be accursed.
Amen.
I don't care if there's a beautiful big angel and even has wings, like the Bible never says they actually have. Comes in your room, you know what you do? "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ." You leave.
Amen.
"But I have a message." No, you don't. Take your message to hell right now.
Amen.
But that's not how the attitude people have is, "Oh, come on in. This is going. I'm going to write a book and get rich off this." Amen. One of them is called the Book of Mormon. Total fictional nonsense.
Amen.
Claiming to have Gabriel come and visit him and give him all that stuff. So what we just read about Japan is true in America right now. And so this spokesman for the Inner World Retreat Center says, "And so," he's talking to Americans and Europeans, "with your own spiritual dance in the shrine of the soul, don't worry about theology or ideology, but rather clear your mind. Open the intuitive eye," the third eye, the occult. That's what he's talking about. "And get involved with mythological symbols."
Yep.
That's the Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox, apostate Protestantism.
Yes. Yes.
There's statues and their icons and all that stuff.
Yeah.
"Through the eyes to the listening heart, and dance the dance. The solemn, stately dance of the mystical bliss to beyond this world of fear and desire to the eternal divine ground of the world and you." So you just heard the difference between Christianity and the religion of Antichrist. What did I say? I didn't come up with it. The Bible says we stand on the ground of the gospel.
Amen.
Satan says, "Stand on the ground of the world and you, ye shall be as gods."
Yep.
The original lie. Genesis 3. Nothing's changed. Satan has a winning strategy.
Yeah. Yep.
No need for him to change the strategy. He just changed the window dressing.
Yep.
changes the terminology and that sort of thing, but he knows how to get you if you will just get your eyes off of the cross and off of the Word of God and off of Jesus Christ on the world and you. He will get you.
You hear that? He's having us put our faith in dust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're trusting in dirt.
Amen.
The world.
You're getting dirt now.
That's right. Evolution is right.
Amen.
Getting dirt.
That's why I repeat, we must stand on the solid ground of gospel truth. It's all about Jesus and what He has done. And the power of His resurrection. This is the Joseph Campbell I'm referring to. I'm not saying anything. I don't hate this man, but he's already died and gone to hell.
Amen.
I don't say that because I'm glad. I wish I could find somewhere where he repented and got saved, but he didn't. He's an American mythologist, writer, and lecturer, best known for his work in comparative mythology and comparative religion. He's featured numerous times as an expert on PBS. He lectured, authored many works. He did everything he could to be used of the devil. He gave himself to the ministry of Satan to pull as many people away from the Bible as he could. Good-looking man, well-spoken, probably as nice as anybody you've ever met. And he'd send you to hell if you listen to him.
Amen.
It's all a big satanic lie. So in closing, and I mean it, stand with God's Word.
Amen.
No preacher, neither myself or anybody else, should be calling you to stand on my Word. I'm up here teaching you that book, verse by verse, so that you can stand on that book.
Amen.
God's Word. And if I have been successfully used by God, then that means I could drop dead today, and the rest of your lives, you'll still stand on that book. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God's Word will stand forever.
Amen.
See, it's not just blowing smoke. I'm telling you the truth. If you stand on Greg's Word, that's not going to really work out real well.
Amen.
But if you stand on God's Word, you are standing on the infallible, eternal Word of God that will never fail. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Read that with me. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Praise God. God's Word is true. Fallible man is not. That includes the Pope.
Amen.
God's Word is true. Fallible man is not. This is the last quote because it says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, man a liar. And look at the consequences. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. If you make it about you and your word or some preacher's word, you aren't going to work. It isn't going to work out in the judgment very well for you.
Amen.
But if you put it in God's hands, go by God's word, you're going to be at the judgment seat and you're going to be able to say, win.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message from Paul that we're continuing to read through in Ephesians. Just so thick and so full of unbelievable things from a human perspective. Things that it really takes your Holy Spirit to help us to understand and believe. Amazing things. We thank you for every bit of truth that we're learning from your Word. And we just pray, Lord, that everyone takes this message to heart and that we make it a part of our lives, who we are. Take advantage of the opportunity to encourage others. Preach the same admonition to stand strong in the Lord. We love you, Lord, and thank you. Pray you bless our time as we sing in closing. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Sharp, John.